I mean, if we just nail swap, we got him. 3 months old. My birth parents gave me up when I was 10 days old. They already had a little girl. They were married. And they gave her to one of the parents to raise, and they divorced each other. And they decided to get remarried approximately 12 years later, and a baby would make everything fine, and that was me. Unfortunately, it didn't work. But how grateful I am. I have a sister and a brother. They're both adopted, all at different times from different families. Nobody in the five of us, from my mother and father to the three kids, are related. But God couldn't have put five people together better. When I talk about my family, my parents, my mother, my sister, and my brother, I'm only talking about those people who raised me. My birth parents are behind me. I have no intention of looking for them. I don't even have intentions of looking for my sister. She's 13 years older than I am, but I'm supposed to look forward. What I'd like to do tonight is to tell you my story and compare it to earthly adoption as a child to heavenly adoption from God. And I would like to show you the greater of the two, because truly God's adoption is greater than any earthly adoption. Anybody here can be adopted by God. Unfortunately, most of you were birthed by your parents and you were taken home. It was probably against the law to leave you. But you can still be adopted. So I'll begin. My mother and father chose me, there is no doubt. But ultimately, Providence says that he set me apart specifically for my parents. Being chosen to come into a family is definitely not the same as being born into a family. Yes, there is the planning and the anticipation and the adulation of a new child, but the timeline is very different. For 9 months, the mother and father spend much of their time just doting over this bundle of joy that one day will be put in their arms, like Heidi's baby. With adoption, there is more time. Time spent hoping, seeking, choosing that one specific child they can call their own. So when an adopted child is brought into a home, the joy is tremendous. They are holding a precious gift given to them by someone they did not know. One family's heartbreak is another family's tremendous joy. Yes, I was chosen by a mother and father that wanted to give me something they could not give their own child. Their name, their heritage, themselves, and their love. I cannot tell you how many times I heard this one phrase. You are special. You were chosen. What a thing to be told. Be chosen. Nothing more can ever make a person feel so loved than to be chosen. In regards to my Heavenly Father, there are several differences. Yes, He also chose me, but His Word says that He chose me before the foundation of the world. Before the foundation of the world was made, before the waters covered the earth, before the separation between night and day was established, He chose me. He gave me His heritage, His love. I am called His beloved, His child. But He also gave me Himself in the person of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. When I was yet in my mother's womb, He covered me and possessed my reins. He saw my substance, my imperfectness, and my sins, and He still chose me. He very clearly states in John 15 that I did not choose Him, but that He chose me. It is very different to be brought into a family when you're not carrying the child for 9 months and doting over it. When I was about a month old, or I should say when I was with my parents for a month. Normalcy came back to their life, and he'd have to do grocery shopping. So my mother went grocery shopping and left me with my father. Right? I mean, I'm his girl, too. So away she goes, and I'm upstairs sleeping in my crib, and along comes one of my uncles and asks my father if he'd like to go for coffee, and he says, sure. So away they go. While they're having coffee, another uncle sees their car, pulls in, and says, is Lisa with you now? And I can't imagine, but the blood must have just run from his face. And, you know, I think about it now because I'm, 42, and I can imagine he was 30, You know, he's probably supposed to be responsible. I have this child. And I wonder what the fear that came over him was from. Was it worrying about me or was it worrying about my mother? So needless to say, they went home. And I was sound asleep, none the worse. And obviously he told my mother because I heard about it, so. The sacrifices that are made on all parties' behalf is quite amazing when you think about it. First, a mother carries her baby to term that she has felt growing inside of her for 9 months. Then to give birth to her own flesh and blood, only to give it to a man. I can't imagine. I believe now, after 42 years, this is great love. I did not for a long time. Second, to think of those who want the child, to come to terms that after many years of wanting their own child, only to realize they will never hold their own child in their arms. They sacrifice all they have earned in return for another's child. I believe this also is great love. The sacrifice my Heavenly Father made, however, was not with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. He obtained eternal redemption for me. He made peace for me through the blood of His cross. He took my sin and He gave me His righteousness. Pretty good exchange of man. For me to become the Father's child, He gave me His only begotten Son. The one who was perfect was made sin. He took my sin, my iniquities were laid upon Him. In Psalm 27:10, I love this verse, it says, when my mother and father forsook me, that would be, in my opinion, my first parents, when they forsook me, He took me up. However, when my Savior was up on the cross, He forsook Him. I was brought into their home, and they gave me all they had. They gave me their name, shelter, nourishment, love, and they made me their own. My name was Denise Marie Jarzabinski. It was a mouthful. My parents changed my name upon adoption. When I became theirs, my name became Lisa Janelle. My mother's name is Ruth Janelle, many of you know. She told me when I was a little girl that because she could not give me birth, she gave me her name. Isaiah 45:4 says, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. The word surname in Greek means a name with honor. I was given my mother's name. My parents went to great lengths to make me their own. When I think back to all my father gave me, I think that permanently making me his own was the greatest love he showed me. My father built the garage that I grew, the house where I grew up at. And if you were to walk into that, if you were to go to that house today, and if you were to walk into the overhead door and turn immediately to your right and look on the floor, you would see my footprint and my name and the year 1956. I was a year old. He permanently made me his own by telling everybody, this is my child. I was engraved into that which he built, and he wanted it to be known by all that I was his. However, my Father in heaven has made me his also, but by a more sure way. Isaiah 49:16 says that I am engraved in the palm of his hand. His hand. My walls are continually before him. One day, my Father's garage will crumble, and any sure evidence that I am his will be gone. So is my heavenly Father. Isaiah 49:15 says, can a woman forget her suckling child, the son of her womb? She may forget, but I will never forget you. When we see the Lord Jesus, and we see his hands and his feet, and we see the nail holes, what a reminder that he'll never forget us. Such a paradox that is, because we're the one being reminded that he's never going to forget us. When parents speak of their children, it doesn't matter what condition they're in. Theirs is unconditional love. This kind of love, I don't understand. I have no children of my own. So this protecting, unconditional, powerful love, it's unclear to me. When I think of the lengths my parents went through to make me their own, it amazes me. When they first saw me, they only saw a helpless child who needed a mother and a father. They saw my smallness, my frailty, my simplicity, and my need. They saw the dimples in my hands, my soft black hair, and a smile on my face. In their eyes, I was perfect. They could not wait to lavish me with their love. When the time came, they gently picked me up and with great love made me their own. What gladness in their hearts, they came empty-handed, and they left with abundant joy. In contrast, when my heavenly Father saw me, he saw my sin, my imperfection, and he still made me his own. Ezekiel 16:8 says, now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love, and I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee, and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and now becamest mine. He knew my sin nature before I was even born. Psalm 139:16 says, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. Romans 5:6 says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Just think. The Lord Jesus Christ died for me upon the cross before I was even born. Before the foundation of the world, he had already made arrangements for me to become his. My father told me a couple of years ago that the first time he saw me, I held my little hand up, looked at him with a great big smile on my face, looked directly in his eyes like I was saying, hi, Daddy. And he said for the first time in his life, he knew what love was. He said, obviously he knew what love was because he was one of 13 kids. He had been married for 10 years, but this kind of love was different. I said, but Dad, you had to have that kind of love with Linda and Richie, right? And he said, no, it was only with you. Really? Can I tell them that? He said no. Guess I gotta keep that a secret. The day my parents brought me home was a great day for them. Their first child was delivered by another and put into their arms. A gift, you could say. Delivered into their care to be loved and nurtured. But on another day, that was marvelous in their eyes. It's the greater day. This is the day that the Lord made. This is the day that he spared not his son, but he delivered him up for me. He delivered him up not to righteous men who would care for him, but to those who would beat him, spit upon him, despise him, treat him shamefully, and ultimately would mock him upon the cross, saying that if his father truly found delight in him, he would save him. Not only did he deliver him up, but when Jesus cried unto his Father, he did not answer. He was forsaken. But when my mother and father forsook me, that is when he took me. These things are too high for me to grasp onto. I see them for a moment and they're gone. It is in these few glimpses that I am captured with his love, with his wonder, that my heavenly Father would choose me to be his own by sending his own son to pay the price. The payment is precious blood. Now I am called a child of God because he made a day when he would deliver his son up to be crucified. That is the greater day. I was indeed a gift given to my parents, but the greater gift is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. My story may be different from others in this room in regard to my earthly life. However, my story is not different in the spiritual sense than any other person sitting here tonight. He is waiting for any right now. At this very moment, for those who want to become the children of God. Can you hear? Because he's standing at the door of your heart, waiting for you to open your heart door. Do you want to be adopted today? You can. Just open the door. I am convinced that there is no more fertile ground in our heart than where Jesus stands to knock it out on our heart door. He's waiting. You can be adopted.